You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
But my message, really, this is a life message for me. I've been preaching this message since 2019, and the last time we preached it here in Chester was in 2023, so it's been a little while. But as I was thinking about what I should bring to the table this week, I want to bring a message called Think Bigger, Live Larger. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, think bigger. And turn to your other neighbor who you ignored and say, live larger. People falling out in the room. The Bible says this in Isaiah 54, this is a favorite section of text for me, says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I love the way the Message version puts this, coming up on the screen. Thanks, Coop. It says, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. In other words, think big to live large. The Bible's drawing a clear distinction here that big thinking leads to big living. Right now, the context is the Israelites. They're in exile. It's a mess. They're all over the place. And they're a million miles away from the promises of God. But God isn't speaking to their current reality. He's speaking to the spirit of the community and what he sees in their future. He's declaring, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, think big in order to live large, because he's not happy settling for where they are, but sees in their future growth, expansion, and the taking over of territory and the settling of desolate cities. That's what we do here in church. That's what the Word of God does. It doesn't come down to the level of your reality, to the sickness, condition, affliction, but the Word of God will always raise you up to higher levels, because that's what faith does. But I wonder, have you ever had a time in your life, let's be honest, where you've thought really small? Throwback to last week, I had a manic 24 hours, let me tell you that. I am the typical bloke who likes to think he can multitask, but cannot multitask whatsoever. When there's lots of stuff in my mind, the distraction brings some sort of like distortion in my body where I become really, really clumsy. So we're heading up, about to head to bed, and instead of doing a couple of trips up and down to bring some stuff up the stairs with me, I have the ingenious idea to take it all in one go. Any blokes be honest and do stuff like that fairly regularly? I know I do. So what I done was I got my, you know, water for bed, I got the dog's water bowl, I got Zaina's baby monitor, I got Lisandri's hot water bottle. Let me tell you, hot water bottles in the bed is a life hack. If you don't have a hot water bottle at home, we're selling them at the lounge after. I'm kidding, we're not. Life hack. I've got all this stuff, a couple other things, all kind in my arms. And the logical thing to do would be to take a moment to think a little bit bigger, do a couple of trips. But instead, I've got everything in my arms, my laptop as well, and I'm walking up the stairs. And I watch in slow motion Zaina's baby monitor slide off the laptop and into the dog's water bowl. Ruined. Totally ruined. Now our baby monitor's wrecked. All because I couldn't take a moment to think a bit bigger. Now, this is quite symptomatic of my DNA growing up. Do you remember anybody in the room? The show CITV. CITV, they were the real cartoons back in the day. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all the good stuff. And then now we've got all this rubbish like Peppa Pig and Bluey and Paw Patrol and all that. It's not as good as the old cartoons. But there's this program on CITV I loved called Art Attack. Anybody know Art Attack? Oh, we got some artists in the room this morning. Art Attack. They'd done this competition where you'd send your drawings in and you'd get a prize. And I drew this thing and I sent it in, but I am no good at drawing, let me tell you. My technology and design teacher described me as the boy with feet for hands. That's how bad I was at technology, at drawing, at creativity. And so I sent this drawing in, and I watched on the screen with my jaw to the ground as they presented my drawing on the show, saying that I've won the prize to Alton Tower, something like that. I was like, I can't believe this. My drawing on TV. I just couldn't even comprehend it. But then the penny dropped, and they said, unfortunately, the young boy or girl that sent this in, we can't give them the prize because they've not put their name and their address on the back. Devastated. Kenzo was crying out because he understands the pain, don't you, buddy? Devastated. Totally gutted that I'd missed out on this grand prize. All because I was thinking so small and thought there is no way that I'm gonna win this prize, so there's no point putting my name and my address and my information on the back. I thought too small. And small thinking, let me tell you, is ingrained into our DNA as culture. It's who we are as British people. In fact, we're challenged when we think big. People get their backs up. It's actually easier for us to be negative, to be pessimistic, to complain, the weather. It's just built into us to be negative. And then what happens is we're not just being negative. No, I'm not being negative. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just being realistic. Have you heard that before? I'm not being negative. I'm just being realistic. But here's the danger. Realism can be negativity in disguise. And so what happens is, instead of thinking big, we think small, and small thinking causes us to live small, and so we live small lives when God in the Bible is speaking to his people, telling them to think bigger and live larger. And so the danger for us today is small thinking, negative thinking, pessimistic thinking will always hold us bound from the large life we were created to live in God. I want to challenge you today, church. We're going deep. I want to encourage you to think bigger and live larger. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, think bigger, live larger. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so what we need to do today is we need to activate the neural pathway of big thinking, of faith, in order to live the large, expansive, ground-taking life that God has called each one of us to live. Are you ready? Yeah. The first thing we all need to do in order to think bigger and live larger is this, is dream again. Write it on your notes. Dream again. Dream again. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis 37, starting from verse 5, the story of Joseph. Joseph had a dream, the Bible says. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream that I had. We were binding up sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Verse 8, his brothers hated him, said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream. Jump to verse 19. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Joseph had a dream that was viewed negatively by his brothers. In fact, his dream intimidated their small thinking. And to summarize, Joseph's dream took him from the pit, which he was thrown into, and then into prison, and then in later life to the palace where he stewarded over Egypt through 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Joseph's dream completely intimidated his brothers. "Here comes that dreamer," they sarcastically cried as Joseph entered the room. This is what dreams will do. Dreams intimidate small thinking. Dreams challenge the status quo. Dreams challenge the way things are. Dreams put the devil to shame. Dreams don't exist within the realms of what is, but they speak by faith of what could be through the power of Jesus. Jackie Pillinger, she had a dream. At the age of 22, she purchased a one-way ticket to Hong Kong with $10 in her pocket. And she arrived in Hong Kong and set up a youth hostel, housing gang members, leading 200 gang members to Jesus, all because she had a dream. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. says this, "I have a dream that one day my children won't be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine." In other words, dream according to the power that is at work within us. Audacious Church, I want to tell you, it is time for you and time for I to dream again. Acts 2:17 says, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." God pours out his spirit, not so we will exist within the confines of what is, but that so we will live in the large, expansive life of what could be by faith. And for that, you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. But somewhere along the way, we grow up, don't we? We stop dreaming, we stop imagining, and we start living realistically. We call it maturity, we call it coming of age. We stop dreaming, we let the dreams go and the dreams die. And instead of fanning into flame the gift of God that's been deposited to all of us, we douse the raging fire of our dreams with a water bucket filled half empty with realism and disbelief, telling ourselves it's better not to play with fire because we're going to get burnt. I want to challenge you today, church. It's time to dream again. Will they say about you, "Here comes that dreamer"? When you walk into a space, will they say, "Here comes that dreamer"? What dreams have you got right now that God wants to unlock and lift into the atmosphere? Things that exist only in the mind. But if you think bigger, you're going to live larger, and they're going to become from what was a thought and spoken into the world, and are going to become a manifest form of the vision that you once had. There's some dreams right now God's put in your heart. Don't let them go to the graveyard. Don't let them die. But I want to challenge you. Think bigger. Live larger. Take that God dream and start to move. Start to walk. Start to action it by faith in Jesus' name. Because if we take our dreams, if we dream again, all of us have an opportunity today to think bigger and live larger. The second thing we all need to do in order to think bigger, live larger, is this, is we need to find a way. Find a way. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Find a way." Find a way. Someone once said, "If it matters, you'll find a way, but if it doesn't, you'll find an excuse." Got a little quiet in the room, didn't it? If it matters, you'll find a way. If it doesn't, you'll find an excuse. Brother Yun, it's an incredible Chinese evangelist, church leader, missionary, who's written a book called The Heavenly Man. And if there's one Christian book you read this year that's not the Bible, read The Heavenly Man. It will totally wreck your life and show you that Christianity's not boring. You are. Challenged me that Brother Yun, who's in a prison and prays and his legs are broken, and God speaks to him about standing up, and he stands up and his legs are miraculously healed, and he walks through the prison. Every door he arrives to, the doors open and open and open and open, and he escapes. Story after story of the radical nature that we call Christianity, when Christianity was always meant to be radical by nature. We've just dulled it down and made it boring, haven't we? I know I have at times, for sure. He says this in this incredible story from Brother Yun. In fact, I'm going to read it rather than paraphrase. It says this, when Brother Yun first became a Christian as a teenager, he desperately longed for a Bible. But in China, Bibles were illegal and incredibly rare. He asked local Christians for one, but they had none to give. That's crazy for us. He asked local Christians for a Bible, and they didn't have any to give him. Wow. So he did the one thing that he could. He found a way, and he prayed. For 100 days, he fasted and prayed, crying out to God for a Bible. One night, he had a vision of two men bringing him a Bible. The vision was so real that he could almost touch it. The next morning, there was a knock on the door, and when he opened, two men stood outside holding a Bible. They handed it to him and left without saying much. Yun wept with joy. God had answered in prayer, a miraculous thing. And from that moment, he devoured the word, memorizing books of the Bible. His hunger for God's truth prepared him for the persecution and miracles that would come later in his life. He had every excuse to accept reality for the way that it was, but instead he'd done the one thing he knew to. He found a way. He prayed and he fasted. Every excuse to give up. Martin Luther, the great reformer who began the Protestant Reformation, says this. Says, I have so much business to attend to that I cannot get on without spending at least 3 hours daily in prayer. He's so busy, he's launching the Protestant Reformation of the church. Every excuse not to pray, but he made time, found a way to pray for 3 hours a day. And many of us, if we're honest, we want to live a large life for God. We want to do incredible things for the kingdom, but we've become trapped in the prison of excuses. God, I just don't have the money. I can't do that business. God, I just don't have the education. I can't. God, I just don't have the time. God, my health. God, all of these excuses that become like a prison holding us together. David had every excuse not to go up against Goliath. We pick up the story in 1 Samuel 17. David says to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth. The context is David is bringing food and water out to the Israelites who are in battle. And for 40 days, they're running in fear from Goliath. He comes out to the front line. He beats his chest. Everybody runs in great fear. Nobody dares challenge the 9-foot giant that was Goliath to a fight. And David had every excuse not to as well. The CEO, the king, Saul, tells him, you're too young and inexperienced. It's a great reason not to, isn't it? His older brother accuses his motivations. He says, you've got a wicked heart. And the whole community are running in fear for 40 days straight. And where everybody was looking for excuses, David found a way. Verse 40 says this, then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his bag, and with sling in hand approached the Philistine. David moved from finding excuses to finding a way. And with one small stone, he slung it and took down the 9-foot Goliath. And I want to tell you, if you can think bigger, you'll live larger. If you find a way, you'll start to take down Goliaths that have stood against you for 40 days and 40 nights. As you walk out to the front line in the name of Jesus, saying what is impossible with man is possible with God. But you got to find a way. So where is it in your life that you've got to find a way? Where is it you've presented excuses, but God wants to present a way? I can't start that business venture. I just don't have the education. Find a way. We could never do that in our family. It's just so beyond us. Find a way. I don't know how to gain personal momentum back in my workplace. Find a way. Because when you find a way, you'll think bigger and you'll live larger. The last point is attempt the impossible. Attempt the impossible. Turn to your neighbor and say, attempt the impossible while I tie my shoelace. did it by faith, found a way, put the mic down, attempt the impossible. William Carey, the great missionary, says this: if you expect great things from God, you've got to attempt great things for God. Luke 18:27, Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Big thinking has to then become translated into big living. Thoughts, visions, dreams have to materialize in reality. And it all starts by attempting the impossible. For us, some of you will know, many of you will know, our building across the road, £1.8 million building down to £1.68 million. Come on, Jesus, that's a praise report. And in the natural sense, it's impossible. It's beyond us, absolutely. It's beyond our ability. It's beyond what we know and have experienced over the last number of years. It's speaking to the future of where we'll be as a church in 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Right now, it seems a million miles beyond us. But when a couple of you approached me at the door, I think almost 2 years ago, and said, "Hey, the building across the road's for sale." We looked at it and we thought, looks pretty impossible that, but we'll give it a go. Fast forward 2 years, we're right on the edge of moving over and occupying, owning our building. It's impossible in the natural, but possible by people with faith. Things that are impossible with man, the Bible says, are possible with God. So I want to challenge you, what is the impossible that God wants to make possible through you? What is the impossible by society's definition? What is the impossible in the Christian world? What is impossible in the status quo of the way things are? What is impossible by the geopolitical standard of current events that God could make possible through you? Wow, we'd change society, we'd change the city, we'd heal the nation. Can you imagine how many businesses would be started? How many people would be prayed for on the street? How many schools would start Christian unions? All because somebody made a decision to attempt the impossible. The Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, says the eyes of the Lord are ranging throughout the whole earth, looking for someone whose hearts are fully committed to Him in order to bring strength. Do you know when your heart's committed, you don't need to bring the strength? God will bring the strength. In fact, right now, God is looking across His auditorium at each one of us, asking, looking, searching our hearts. Are we committed to Him? I heard of someone today who's not just reading the Bible in a year, she's reading the Bible 3 times this year. Talk about hearts that are fully committed to Him. He'll bring the strength. So we don't need to fear in the natural sense, because God will bring the strength when our hearts are consecrated towards Him. Peter stepped out of the boat, attempting the impossible, started to walk on the waters of life circumstances, but then he began to drown in his disbelief. Esther stepped into the presence of the king, uninvited, and with her knees trembling, unsure of the outcome, because by the societal standard she should have been put to death, she walked towards the king as nervous as she might have been. Thomas the apostle, who's known for doubting Jesus' resurrection, then became a martyr to India for the gospel. We all have moments in life wavering when we attempt the impossible. We all have moments of doubting. But if we can just by faith put one foot in front of the other, keep taking the next step, keep trusting God for the strength, trusting Him for provision, trusting Him for the source, like Peter, we'll begin to walk on life's circumstances and storms. Where everybody says you should drown, you're gonna walk on the waves. Like Esther, you're gonna walk into environments of faith where in the natural sense you don't belong, but you're gonna stand before kings, powers, principalities, and bring a word of influence by faith. Like Thomas, we'll have our moments of doubt, but by faith, we'll leave our mark on a nation. And India was reached because Thomas decided not to live as Thomas the doubter, but to live as Thomas the martyr. Oh, that's a word for somebody today. You might have been doubting something that God's put in your heart, a dream, a vision, an idea. I want to encourage you, think bigger, live larger. Oh, stop doubting and just start stepping out in faith. and together we'll walk where everybody says we should drown and we should go under. We're going to advance by faith. How do we do this? How do we think bigger, live larger? Bible says this, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. In fact, before that, it says, be renewed by the transforming of your mind. All starts with a thought. All starts with renewal. It's very easy to let our thoughts go astray and go off course. But when we bring them to the Lord, we come into environments of faith. That's where we're transformed. That's where we're renewed. And then we're able to test and approve God's will, the Bible says. So for each one of us, if we're ever going to think bigger, live larger, we have to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. It's funny, isn't it? I heard someone last weekend, a preacher, say this. It's funny how in environments of faith, nothing's impossible. It's crazy that, isn't it? You can sit here in church, nothing is impossible. The dreams, the visions, the ideas, you got faith and you can do it. You feel like you can take on the world. But then we wake up on Monday morning and it feels like a bit of a pipe dream, doesn't it? Feels like, oh, that was Sunday. Let's get on with normal life. I want to challenge you. Take the faith that you have in this room and apply it to your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday. Don't let this just be a Sunday thing. Because the hour and a half we have here in the mornings is quite minimal in the grand scheme of our week and our lives. But what God does in a moment can completely transform a lifetime. So for some of you today, I'm declaring by faith, things are going to shift in your life and in your world because you're arresting those thoughts where the devil's trying to take you astray. He's sowing seeds of doubt and negativity. In fact, this is what he said to Adam and Eve in the garden. It was a serpent. He said, did God really say? Some of you, you're asking that question right now. Did God really say? I want to encourage you and say, he did. The Bible says God's no man that he should lie. He's the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So in this moment, if you're able, jump to your feet just now. And I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit where you are, where you're stood. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to start to challenge, change, and arrest those thoughts so that you can go from here today and think bigger and live larger. Hey, come on, we've got a city to reach. You got a family to win for the Lord. You got schools that need touched and impacted by the gospel. Oh, you got businesses and workplaces to start. Dreams that you've tucked away, put on the shelf, that it's time to take it off the shelf and take the first step. First step might be learning a language. The first step might be starting a course. The first step might be having a conversation. The first step might be to end your day with the word of God. The first step might be to pray. The first step. All of us need a first step. But once you've took that first step, you got to keep stepping and stepping and stepping and stepping. That's why the Bible says in Psalms, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because the lamp shines on its current vicinity and proximity. You can only see a couple of feet in front. But every time you take a step, you start to see more unpacks. You don't see the end of the road at the start, but every footstep that you take, God's word is going to illuminate and shine bright. So right across this room, lift every hand to heaven right now. Father God, Holy Spirit, in this place right now, come and speak, come and breathe, come and move, come and arrest those negative thought patterns, those things that we've spoken over ourselves, the things that we've told ourselves we could not do. We break that off right now in Jesus' name because we know through you, anything is possible. God, right now I pray that this week we're going to see jobs landing on people's doorsteps. This week we're going to see companies formed on companies' house. This week, we're going to see CUs planted in schools. This week, we're going to see family members reaching out to those in their family that don't yet know you for the first time because we believe by faith you can do anything and everything. So Lord, we breathe life onto those dreams right now. We say come alive right now. In the name of Jesus, that which is dead in your life, we speak to it. Jesus Christ heals you. Lord, help us collectively, all of us, to think bigger and to live larger. Come on, just start to pray. Start to welcome the Lord into your life. Start to say, Lord, speak. Lord, speak to me, direct me, guide me, instruct me, counsel me, touch me, mark me, make me new. Come on, if you speak in tongues, you start to speak in tongues. Welcome the presence of God in this place. Thank you, Father, that you're here. Thank you, Father, that you're moving in this place.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.